Several years ago when I was a teenager, how many of you know that was several years ago, I was introduced to the Ferguson family, Michelle's family, and food and eating and family dinners is just a big deal in their family culture, which was really good for me because I like to eat a lot. And so if you had a birthday or somebody, you know, any kind of holiday, it was celebrated with a meal. So everybody that had a birthday got their own dinner, and you got whatever you wanted and all of that. But these people can cook, and they would feed. I mean, if there was 20 people showed up, you could have fed 50 people with the amount of food that was there. It was just the way it was. And that's how I learned how to eat. And so Michelle's dad, when the meal was all over and everybody was done, if there was anything left, he would just scrape it over on my plate and say, hey, finish that too. But it was just a wonderful culture to be in. And I'm telling you, I can't even describe to you how good this food was. Now, at one particular meal, I saw this casserole dish filled with scallop potatoes. How many of you know scallop potatoes? Come on, nod at me if you understand scallop potatoes. All right, how many of you like scallop potatoes? Well, I took a big couple of scoops of scallop potatoes on my plate with everything else. I mean, you needed three plates. I mean, there was just that many different dishes that there was to partake of. And so I remember after we said amen at the prayer, you know, and I'm you know, got the plate of food probably in my lap. We were probably, you know, there's so many people there, we couldn't all get around the table. So the men would always sacrifice themselves and sit by the TV because there was generally a football game on, all right? And so I remember sticking my fork into those scallop potatoes and putting those into my mouth, and they tasted rotten. I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened to scallop potatoes? Somebody used some bad potatoes here. Somebody used some rotten potatoes. And I said, oh my gosh. And I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to offend whoever made the scallop potatoes. But somebody started laughing at me and said, what's wrong? I said, something wrong with the potatoes. And somebody said, those aren't potatoes. Those are turnips. I'm really fine with turnips, but if you're expecting potatoes and you get turnips, you just can't make that right in your brain or in your taste buds anymore. And I didn't eat the scallop potatoes. Would you stand together with me as we read from Psalm 34? One verse. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Let's pray. Father, that's what we want today. You threw that out there as a possibility that we could taste and see that You're good. Lord, we will settle for nothing less than that today. We want to taste. We want to experience. We want to know the goodness of God in this place, in our lives today. And we'll settle for nothing less than that very thing. Grant it, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Taste and see suggests rich and satisfying experiences with God. Rich and satisfying. Now, we have five senses. Hearing, seeing, smelling. That's something that we can do from a great distance. With amplification, I'm telling you, this sound system, if we open the doors, come on, we could put you over at Travis Clark's house and you could hear the music from Cornerstone Church from a far distance. You just could. And you can see things from a great distance. You can smell things, good or bad. If you ever come into town, it's like, ooh, you know what? Happened, you know. You can smell things from a far distance, but to touch something, come on, to touch closes all that gap. How many of you have ever been touched by God? I've been touched by God. How about you? But there's something about touching, while it's wonderful. I mean, a good hug, you know, holding hands with the right girl. Come on, somebody. That can be a wonderful thing. But it doesn't necessarily change us. We can be touched and walk away from that. It's still kind of superficial. It's still surface. But to taste something, that becomes part of us. To taste something, I have to put it in my mouth. I have to chew it up. It dissolves. It gets absorbed. It is processed through my life, and it becomes part of me. To taste something now is part of me, right? Some people have trouble getting started in their walk with Jesus, but I'm just telling you, you can't fully experience, you can't fully understand, you can't fully grasp Jesus until you start following Him. We discover who He is on the journey. Now, I'm going to say some things. And first service, I tried to do this out of memory a little bit, and I need to sharpen it up. So I'm going to read you what I wrote, because I think it's the Word of the Lord for us today. And I don't normally look at my notes so much, but I don't want to miss anything, and I don't want to say it differently than the way I wrote it. It's time for some of you to come out of the fringes and draw in a little closer today. It's time for somebody to be touched by God today, if you've never been touched. It's time for somebody to taste the goodness of God. It's time for all of us to experience God at a greater level. It's time for God to have His way with us. Tasting allows God to become a greater part of us. Tasting allows God's DNA to become part of our DNA. And I don't know if that's scientifically accurate, but I like it anyway. John the Baptist, as he was diminishing, as he was fading from the public eye, his disciples came to him and said, "Look, this Jesus guy, he's getting a lot more notoriety. He's becoming more famous than you." In other words, and your disciples are following him. And John made a statement. He said, "Well, I must decrease that he might increase." Now, while that was the testimony of John, and John was the forerunner, the front runner. He was making the way for he was fulfilling his purpose. He was making the way for Jesus to come. And so that's actually, you know, literally true. He needed to decrease so that Christ could increase. But I think that sentiment can be embraced by all of us. I must decrease so that Christ would increase. There's only so much capacity in my life, and I'm either going to use that up by my own self, or I'm going to yield that, come on, to someone greater than me, Jesus. I want to taste God today. I want to be more like Him today. Hearing, seeing, smelling, even touching is not enough to change me. Only tasting becomes part of me. Only tasting will do it. Now, this sounds like I'm coaxing us into some kind of emotionalism today. Okay? Several years ago, in our early 20s, when Michelle and I discovered that there was more of God than what we had ever experienced before, and we got a taste of that, nothing less than that experience was ever satisfying ever again. Some of you are sitting here this morning sensing there's more of God than what I've ever experienced. And if there's more of God, I want Him. But I'm telling you, taste and see is the only thing that will get you there. And my mentor, pulled me aside and said, "Stan, you're kind of involved in this movement, and this movement's marked by a lot of excessive emotionalism." And he gave me a warning that the emotions will wear off and then you're going to be left with an empty experience. And while I will say that excessive emotionalism can be quite dangerous, and many of us have seen the dangers of excessive emotionalism, let me say this. How can one taste God and be unmoved? Let me warn you today. Beware if you've never become emotional about God. Beware that you have settled for a hear and see experience only. Beware that your church experience has left your life mostly unaffected. Maybe you've been touched from time to time, but truly, you, when you think back and reflect on your life, you think, it really has not changed me that much. Beware that you would settle for a little touch now and then. Don and Lorraine Odendaller from Zimbabwe, and we met them in 1985. And so we've been around this experience for a long time. Many of you went to Honduras with us a summer ago. And then Michelle and I just experienced India for the first time. One thing that is the same, whether it be Zimbabwe or Mozambique, whether it be India or Mexico or Honduras or Peru, there's an emotional expression in worship, whether it's with a hollowed out log with a skin pulled over it that they call a drum, whether it's, and the drums are different in India than they are in Africa, but they're kind of the same. But then if you go to Latin America, they've got every instrument that you've ever thought of times 20. And if you can make a noise, they're going to make it. And I'm not making fun of, I'm just saying it's the way it is. But there is an emotion expressed in these services. And if you've ever experienced it, you want some more of it. It may be different than what you've experienced before, but you kind of like it. You kind of think, wow, I wish I was that enthused about my relationship with God as what I see. I mean, you can do an all-week seminar in the bush in Africa, but there's one thing that's always going to be the same. On the last night, before they all start walking home or catching bus transfers to get back home or riding their bicycle or their motorbike or whatever it is, or all pile up in the back of a pickup to get back home, and it might take them 12 hours to do so, they're going to spend all night worshiping God. One instrument, a little drum, all night long from about 10 o'clock at night until the sun comes up. They're going to sing and they're going to stomp in the dirt and worship God. Michelle and I were in church services, not really church services. It was more these Indian missionaries. They come out of the villages once a month. They come together for some training. They get together and they pray. They tell their stories, and they get some instruction, and they worship together. And I mean, they're moved. I'm thinking they've tasted and they've seen the goodness of God in the midst of great persecution. And again, all they had was a little drum, somebody sitting on the ground, with a little like bongo drum between their legs. It's all they've got. But P.G. Vargas, this 70-something-year-old, leader that's planted 7,000 churches has a rolling pin and what looks like a trash can lid. And they're singing, and he's beating this thing, and just dancing, and all of a sudden he gets excited. And they're so excited because they've tasted of the goodness of God. And then, you know, all us little Americans are standing there trying to sing and so forth, and then they grab you by the hand. They're unwilling to allow you to just be a spectator in this sport. And they drag you out there, and we sang, and we danced, and we twirled, and we kicked our feet, and we... At one time in the service, I feel people grabbing me. And they picked me up and put me above their shoulders, about three people, and they started dancing around with me above their head. Somebody's tasted of the goodness of God. I said, somebody's tasted of the goodness of God. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time, because of your relationship with God, that you were moved to tears or shouts of joy? And I don't mean because Chad is rebuking you or encouraging you to do so. I mean because you tasted of God and a whoop went out of you, or tears flowed down your eyes because you just thought of how much God loved you and what a sinner you were and how much you're saved and how much you're going to heaven now and how much you're glad that you're part of the family of God, that you were moved emotionally. I'm saying beware that that's never happened to you. The psalmist said, taste and see. And I'm good. Something very unusual happens to me when I eat hot and spicy food. I discovered this in a restaurant several years ago. We were eating some Asian food, and all of a sudden, my brow begins to perspire. I'm warm and glowing all over my body because I broke out in a sweat. My entire body, it was a reaction to the spices in the food. My nose began to run. I had to, you know, find napkins and bring me some more napkins and blow my nose at the table because of this food that I was eating. And it happens to me all the time now. I break out in a sweat. I have to douse my forehead and blow my nose. The food has changed me. You say, well, that sounds painful. That sounds horrible. No, it's wonderful. It's like this horrible, wonderful thing going on in my body because of I've tasted this rich, flavorful, hot, spicy food. And it doesn't matter if it's from Latin America, if it's Honduran or Guatemalan or Mexican, or if it's Thai or if it's Chinese or Indian. I have that same reaction. Because what you put into your mouth and you chew and swallow changes you. It becomes part of you. It has an influence on you. Are you listening to me? And if your experience with God has left you unmoved, then you've been cheated. Or you've settled for something far less than what God has for you. And there's something about eating this food that makes you want more of it. Are you listening to me? It creates a hunger. You know, we grew up like most people. Meat, potatoes, corn, green beans. Come on, somebody. Occasionally broccoli. That your mom had to put cheese on so that you'd eat it. But then we began to be introduced to some other things. You didn't know you liked it until you tasted it. And you might not even have liked it the first time because it was so different than what you'd ever experienced before, but you were kind of intrigued. I think I want more of this. I think I want to try more of this. I don't know what your past experience with God is, but I'm telling you, there's probably a whole lot more to God than what you've ever experienced. And if you ever get a taste, you're going to want more. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So now wherever we go, man, we're looking for Thai food. We're looking for Indian food. We're looking for a little Honduran restaurant. Or if you go up to Milan, there's a little El Salvadorian restaurant on the square. And on Friday nights, I'd suggest you go there and eat. But a great meal is something to be shared. I said a great meal is one of the reasons that the food tasted so good at Michelle's family's house is because of the people that we were eating it with. They loved one another. They laughed. They told the same dumb stories every single time we got together. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the horse story and how they took it through the house, how we melted crayons and caught that kitchen on fire. Come on, how, you know, her brother climbed to the top of the water tower, or the water tower, the windmill when he was 2 years old. I mean, I've heard it all. Heard it all. Gymnastic stories, I've heard it all. I've heard them all 100 times. I've heard them 300 times. But it's in that environment. Come on, somebody. Food tastes better together. The same meal. Come on, somebody. It's a lot better at Lori Shiflett's house than at your house. Well, there might be 2 reasons for that. But Michelle and I've never skipped an opportunity to go eat at Maria's house in Milan. And we've had her food out on the street at cultural events, but it tastes better at Maria's house. Taste and see. I love my personal time with the Lord, but there's something about coming together on Sunday morning. I don't care how bad my week's been. I don't care how stressed I am. I don't care how whatever. There's something healing that happens when we come together as a church family and we begin to taste the goodness of God together. Are you listening to me? So are you listening to me this morning? A great meal is something to be shared. We enjoyed our time so much in Germany with the Markson family. Why? Because they were having so much fun showing us around, taking us to restaurants, fixing food in the house. Michelle and I, there was a lady from Texas that we know a little bit named Lori Johansson that was on the trip. Her husband was unable to come. And so she hung out with us a lot. And it was such a delight to take her to restaurants because we knew what to order because we were a little more experienced with Indian food and so forth. And just the delight of introducing her to something new and her tasting it for the first time going, wow, I like this. Let me write this down because I want to order this again. Are you listening to me? There's something that we can share together in the house of God. Many of you have tasted the wonderful goodness of God. How many of you absolutely could just say, I have tasted and seen the Lord is good? Many of you have tasted the wonderful goodness of God, but for many people, you'd have to confess it's been a while. Some have lost your hunger for God, but you're starting to smell something today. There's a rich aroma of God in the air. And look with me to Matthew chapter 15, which means that you're going to be completely unsatisfied by this. Matthew 15, verse 7, Jesus said, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near. They draw near with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. I'm just telling you, let's give God more than lip service today. Let's give Him our hearts, the emotional centers of our life. I'm tired of coming to church services and leaving unaffected and unchanged. How can you taste of the goodness of God and that not change you? That not move you? I want to taste God. Let's close this up. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And when this is talking about the knowledge, it's not talking about I know something about you. This is I know you. There's a great big difference between knowing about God, and a lot of you can fill notebooks with your knowledge of who God is, but it is no substitute for knowing Him. Tasting, experiencing. We do not need to shy away from the experiential knowledge of God. Paul said, I long for it. It's what I live for. I count everything as lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, that by some means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to that which lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If we're going to taste the goodness of God, if we're going to taste God more fully, we're going to have to let go of our past experiences, good and bad. Some of your very good experiences with God in the past are the thing that are preventing you from tasting the goodness of God today, because it's not the same. It's just not the same today. It's not the same today as it used to be, nor will it ever be the same ever again. And if you keep holding on to those past experiences, longing for something from the past, you're going to miss what God is doing in your life today. And the pain and the tragedy of your past that pushes you away from God is the thing that should be pushing you towards God. Because Paul said, I just want to know Him, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. It is as we suffer. It is through our suffering that we experience God. There's something about Jesus that I'll never know that those Indians know. I'll never be in a position to suffer in that same way. Therefore, I don't know if I can even know Jesus in the same way that they know Him. Don't shy away from suffering. It's in suffering that we identify with Christ. And if you run away from suffering, you're running away from Him. But in the midst of your suffering, you cry out to Him, I need to know You, God. I need to experience You, God. You can't abandon me here in this pit. While we were in a few dangerous situations, we were so protected. They would drive us into a church service, they'd sing a song, we would preach, and we would leave. We were there less than an hour because we didn't want to draw any attention to the fact that foreigners were here visiting, lest those that would come to persecute would show up. We were in and out. But they lived there, embracing that suffering. But they're tasting and seeing the goodness of God. Are you following me? We've got to let go of our own self-righteous opinions. And allow ourselves to be rejected and betrayed, that Christ would be revealed in us. Now, I'm a little embarrassed by this. But I was writing this sermon in India, and all I could think of was the song, All of Me. And I became fully convinced that this was a worship song in my brain. All of me wants all of you. And then I realized it was John Legend. And then there's some inappropriate language in the song that I can't sing. Something about your curves and shapes. But I love the sentiment of the song. All of me wants all of you. And if there's more of God that you're desiring today, you can't get more of God without Him getting more of you at the same time. If you want everything that God has for you today, then He has to get everything that you are. I'm not sure how God wins in this exchange, but that's what He wants. He wants all of me, and He wants me to have all of Him. Now, I like coffee, and I'm going a little long. I'm going to ask if you'd go ahead, the ushers, and go ahead and serve the communion elements to the folks, please. But you cannot experience the pleasures of coffee from the raw coffee bean. It is a bean. It grows on a tree, right? And it has to be plucked. And then it has to be roasted. It has to be put through the fire. And then it has to be ground. Plucking, roasting, and grinding. All painful. But it's only through this process, and then we're not done. You don't eat coffee grinds. You have to boil water. Put that coffee through another painful process. I want all of God, therefore He needs all of me. And for God to have all of me, come on, there's just some plucking that needs to go on in my life. There's some roasting that needs to go on in my life. There's some things in my life that just can't be. There's some sin. There's some just some wrong attitude that needs to be put through the fire. Not to destroy. The purpose of the fire is not to destroy, but to take away everything that's unnecessary. Everything that would prevent the beauty and this flavorful, wonderful gift that you are to God. But in your raw condition, come on somebody, there's nothing beautiful, there's nothing flavorful, there's nothing wonderful about that. Allow yourself to go through the fire of God's Word and His purity that says, look, come out of this. We all love the story. I love the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus looked at her and said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. He didn't leave her raw and in her fallen state and say, you're okay. He said, you're okay, but you need to change. You need to change. You need to go through this fire and sin no more. We come together for a little grinding. But it's as we come together and we worship together and we have a little bit of different idea of who God is. There's something about Jesus I'm never going to get on my own. I'm going to have to go through the tumbler. I'm going to have to, come on, let you elbow me a few times and challenge me a few times. It's as we come together in worship that we really discover who God is. We have to go through the boiler a little bit, but it's through the fellowship of His sufferings that I discover who He is. And some of you are suffering today. Don't run away from God. Run to Him. And the result is this flavorful, wonderful delight that we call coffee. And if you've ever experienced good coffee, now I had Wilmer, who's a coffee expert, Wilmer Gingrich, played the mandolin today. He brought me freshly roasted coffee beans today. They still have the oil in the bean. He roasts them at a particular temperature, and he put the temperature on the bag, what he roasted them. They're fresh as fresh gets. And I just ground those, put them in a filter, and poured water over that, and it's boiling right now. And if you've ever tasted good coffee, fresh coffee, strong coffee, that oily, flavorful coffee, you'll never, ever go back to dry, stale, weak coffee again. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now you have in your hands the communion elements. John 6, don't have time to read it, I'm way too long already. But in John 6, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no part of me. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. You have a little piece of bread and a little cup of juice. This is powerful. Jesus says, all of me for all of you. You can taste the goodness of God today. You see, the glory of God, 2 Corinthians says, is found in the face of Jesus. That's why I asked Chad to sing, just give me Jesus. That's all it is. How many of you know, how many of you are sensing, come on somebody, there's more of God than what I'm experiencing. It's right here. It's all found in the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. Body of Christ. The bread of life. Broken, bruised, and by whose stripes you're healed. Let's taste the goodness of God. Blood of Jesus Christ, the cup of salvation. The blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin. The blood of Jesus that made this Indian woman feel pure and clean and holy. What others have done to you, what you've sinned, you've committed yourself, doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus cleanses you. Makes you righteous. But again, it's all of Him for all of you. Are you ready to make that commitment today? Come on, drinking the cup says you get all of me. I want you to be completely part of my life. I want all of you. You get all of me. That's what we're saying together right now.